the meeting at 7:10. I appreciate your patience. We started this evening at 4:30, so it's been long, but very productive. The invocation will be done by Mr. Flowers, and the flag salute by Eileen Miranda Jimenez.
Dear gracious and heavenly Father, we come, Lord, praise and thank you, Lord God, for allowing us to assemble together tonight, Lord God. Lord God, we just ask you to just continue to wash us, cleanse us, forgive us for all our sins and evils. Lord God, I ask you to bless everyone that's on the sound of my voice, Lord God. Somebody just may need a little touch from you, Lord God. Somebody be feeling good in their body. Lord God, you said action should be given. So we ask if anybody's going through, Lord God, we ask you a healing right now. Lord God, bless this board. Use us, God, and direct us in the way you want us to go. Have your way in our lives. We thank you for our teachers, for the districts and their leaders, Lord God, the superintendent and staff, and most of all, Lord, for our students of this district, Lord God. Take their hand and lead them down the path of righteousness, Lord God. We praise and we thank you and we glorify you. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Amen.
Please join me in the flag salute. Right hand on your heart. Ready, begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
It didn't work. Right now.
Here.
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 Present.
Here.
There's nothing to report out from closed session today. That brings us to the public hearing portion of our meeting. A public hearing is hereby declared open at 7:11 for the purpose of hearing public input on the initial proposals for the Teachers Association of West Covina. Is there anybody who would like to speak to this at this time? Seeing no one, we will end at 7:12. A public hearing is hereby declared open at 7:12 p.m. for the purpose of hearing public input on the district's initial proposal to the Teachers Association of West Covina. Is there anybody who would like to comment on this issue? Seeing no one, we will close that hearing session at 7:13. That brings us to the board president report. I don't have anything to report at this time. Board of Education report and legislative update. Ms. Shoemaker.
I have one thing. Thankfully, in my job, I spend a lot of time reading cases and getting information. And there's one case that I became aware of last week that I think is of particular interest to our school district. And the case is called Morgan Hill. And basically, the Morgan Hill case is a case where two parent associations have sued the California Department of Education, basically alleging that the California Department of Education has violated the Individuals with Disability Education Act, among other related laws, by failing to monitor, investigate, provide services to, and enforce the rights of children with disabilities consistent with its obligations under the law. Of course, the CDE denies any of those allegations. As part of the discovery in the case, the plaintiffs have asked for student records, and the judge has granted their right to examine student records. And so what the order states is every student record for every student from January 1st, 2008 through present time will be turned over to the plaintiffs in the case. That's 10 million student records. Okay? Student records held by the CDE include student names, Social Security numbers, home addresses, demographics, course information, statewide assessment results, teacher demographics, program information, behavior and discipline information, progress reports, special education assessment plans, special education assessment / evaluations, IEPs, records pertaining to health, mental health, and medical information, student statewide identifiers, attendance statistics, information on suspensions and expulsions, and results on state tests. So as part of the order, there is a protective order that basically says the records cannot become public, that only the parties, their attorneys and consultants, and the court will be able to see the student records. The court has also given an opportunity for parents to object to the release of their student information. And so I will pass this to the superintendent. I have the notice of disclosure in English and in Spanish along with the opt-out. And basically, if a parent or a student 18 and over wants to object to the release of their records, they have to fill out the form and mail it to the court. As of right now, no one knows what the judge is going to do with the objections, if she's going to sustain them and your student's records won't be released, or if she will just say, CDE, give them all. And so the important thing is if you have an objection, you need to file it, because if you do not file an objection, you are deemed to have waived your right to object. And you have until April 1st to send in your objection to the court. And so with the rest of the board's permission, I think it's important that we get this information out to our community, put it on our website, and just make sure that people are aware that this is going on. And if they choose to do so, they can try and protect their rights. I know several school districts have already put it on their district websites and are getting the information out. To be clear, we're not legally obligated to do so. I feel we are morally obligated to do so. And I will also be passing a article from EdSource to the superintendent that basically goes into more detail about the uncertainty of what your objection will do. And so that is...
CSBA also sent out something today, and I think it also went into how you might be able to tell your parents. This is a question. I know this isn't question and answer, so maybe this can get back to us. Is there a way, if you don't mind people looking at the information, but just to redact the Social Security numbers and the names, and so they can't, so it won't be associated with an individual?
Based on articles I've read, no, because the CDE has stated that nothing will be redacted because the court order doesn't state it.
I believe the plaintiffs, is that the people who were suing, wanted it redacted, but...
The plaintiffs originally asked for redacted information, and the California Department of Education stated that it would be impossible to do. Remember, we're talking about 10 million
right.
student records.
Yep.
And so the judge made the order from there without any redaction requirements. But the requirement that there be a special master and certain people who have access to it, and that the records have to be destroyed at the end of the case or returned to the CDE. Again, I can understand why they want access. I cannot understand the breadth and scope of the information being given.
Thank you. I appreciate that, in that now the public's been made aware of it, and if we can move forward. Yes,
President Pulse, if I may, I want to commend Trustee Shoemaker. She had called me some time ago and asked me what my opinion was on the Morgan Hill case, and I just was blank because, to be honest with you, I wasn't up to date on it. So she filled me in just as she did the board tonight. But in shortly thereafter, CSBA, AXA, advocacy groups, you know, while I'm a supporter of the judiciary, I have to say this is one of the craziest rulings I think I've ever been part of or heard of. 10 million documents, you talked about redacting, you know, that's 20 million times you touch the paper. Based upon the direction of the board, I've already talked to Ms. Knudsen. We're working with some of those districts that you've described that have already sent out notification. You heard about all of the parent communication tools that we have. We will put those into effect to make sure that all of our parents are informed and they can make an educated decision whether they want to fill out that paperwork or not.
Thank you.
Oh, One other thing on that, and this may need an actual action item, is you are supposed to mail it in yourself, and I don't know if we want to possibly provide the opportunity to turn it into us. And we
Again, the amount of work for us to then pull all of that data and then give it to each family so they can move it in, mail individually is...
They would just turn in the form to us, the opt-out form.
Right.
That we would fill it out for them or anything like that, but... Yeah. I'm okay either way as long as we make sure that the word gets out.
Right.
Mike, do you have a report?
No. Eileen? Okay. The academic decathlon banquet was awesome. Edgewood came in second overall. They won the super quiz again this year. Benjamin Lynn got a $500 scholarship. They are definitely on their way to state. And at West Covina High School, we had 6 medals, so that was really good. The team is significantly smaller at West Covina High, and they did really well. They did, for West Covina, phenomenally well. Edgewood was just amazing. They rocked the place. They just kept getting up and down, getting medals after medals after medals. So I look forward to when we'll be able to acknowledge them here, both teams here at... our boardroom. The San Jose open house was excellent. I did talk to parents about some of the exciting things that we're doing over at Edgewood and West Covina High, so I used it as an opportunity to promote our schools because, as Dr. Hanman knows, I'm a recruiting machine. I keep submitting and submitting. The West Covina High School Spring Academic Awards Night was also really good. It was really tough because I know we were between events, but I started my evening over there, and Mr. Travatore shared that he had over 1,200 awards, which is slightly more than 50% of the student body was receiving an award that night. So that went very well. A lot of excited students and parents ready to celebrate. PTA did a great job with their. They were all set and ready to go. The kids felt very celebrated. and then, of course, we were all at the City of West Covina's birthday dinner. I appreciate. Thank you, Dr. Hinman, for supporting our city and joining us that night. It was good to see everyone come together in a social atmosphere. And the test training on Friday was really good. I was in for about an hour, and I walked away with great information. I have a folder here. Even in that 1 hour, I learned quite a bit. So I'm really pleased with as you were. We were having the discussion during our presentation about increasing the rigor, and he gave very tactile, hands-on, this is how you can do it. I even joked and said it's going to change a little bit my lectures that I give my children, my disciplinary lectures, because it was very concise. It was easy to follow. I could see the light bulbs going on for teachers. I was so impressed, and I know that it's going to roll out, but it would be awesome if all the teachers could hear what he had to say in that setting, because it was really good. So I want to thank... I think it was Dr. Duncan who suggested him, right, for bringing him to the district. So the test training was excellent. So thank you to the education department. Thank you, thank you. That was it. Sorry. Mr. Manares?
Just quickly, I was able to visit some schools last week, including my first time being at San Jose, and I was very encouraged with what I saw. So definitely a lot of great things going on. There's always room for growth. That's just part of how educators have to look at things. But overall, I was very pleased and got to attend Edgewood's play.
I'm going to go this weekend.
I forgot the title of it. But it's something the students and the teacher write.
Yeah, I'm going on Thursday.
It was actually very funny. And that was a good experience. It's in a classroom, so it's a very different experience, but a very positive one. So, and a great session today prior to this meeting. Very informative, so I appreciate that. Thank you to the staff for putting that together.
Thank you. That was a lot. Board, student representative?
Thank you. Well, starting with Edgewood High School, Edgewood has, they had a student forum on February 20th led by Ms. Maddox to hear student ideas about their school. Also, extended essay workshops and PSAT prep classes were held in the high school media center, held on February 20th as well, from 8 a.m. to noon. Edgewood's concert choir will be held on Wednesday, well, tomorrow, in their cafeteria at 7. Also, the EP3C Club will continue to have their performances from Thursday, February 25th, to Saturday, February 27th. On the 25th, a 4 p.m. show, on the 26th, a 7 p.m. show, and the 27th, a 12 a.m. show and a 4 p.m. show. Edgewood's ASB will be hosting the 8th grade visitations in the EHS gym. Edgewood will showcase all what their school has to offer. Edgewood's boys basketball team will be having their end-of-the-year team banquet in the cafeteria on Monday, February 29th. Edgewood's PTSA will be having a student walkathon fundraiser on Wednesday, March 2nd during PE classes. And lastly, with Edgewood, class of 2018 is having a Super Smash Brothers game tournament in the Media Center on Friday, March 4th at 6 p.m. Moving on with West Covina. West Covina's counselors are continuing pre-registration meetings with their current students. Yesterday, Link Crew and Leadership Students hosted the WCUSD 8th graders at an information rally at West Covina High School. This event helps provide 8th graders with information about their options regarding high school. Captain Acuna Perez has received the Very Special Person Award, and drama teacher Kim Segura has received the Honorary Service Award. They will be recognized at the PTSA Award Banquet at the Sheraton Fairplex on February 29th. Saturday, March 5th, the National English Honor Society will be hosting its annual Dr. Seuss Day. There will be games, activity stations, and readings throughout the event. West Covina's annual open house will be Thursday, March 10th. This will truly showcase all of West Covina, and they invite all members of the community to attend. Moving on with Coronado, six of Coronado students participated in the city government / student day. They shadowed their our city officials and learned a lot about how the city runs, where I myself shadowed the mayor pro tem for the day. Eight students in Coronado participated in the district anti-bullying campaign. And in other news, they had their first softball game today, and they won. Coronado will be having a parent-teacher conferences coming up on March 15th. And lastly, with Coronado, Ruben Salazar Continuation High School teachers will be visiting their campus this Monday as they prepare their model school application. And that concludes it. Thank you.
Thank you. Informal report.
Mr. Seaman.
Well, as the board may have gathered from the study session, today was a special day for me to be inducted into the Lion. It took a couple months for us to get there because they really wanted the district governor to be here, and this was the first opportunity we could get to have him there. So myself, Ginger Pruitt, Dr. Ronnie Maddox, and Janet Shirley were inducted into the Lions today, and Dr. Hinman was there to witness it all.
Oh, how nice.
Ms. Knudsen.
I just want to talk a little bit. I had a great visit over at Orangewood Elementary on Friday. I got to visit all of the classrooms, and I got to spend a bit more time in the dual immersion, and was something that was really amazing. You know, you hear about all that those kids are soaking in, but it was really was evident that they're all really benefiting from that program. And then lastly, we're in the midst of beginning our work on updating our 15-16 LCAP, and beginning the process of walking down the road of the 16-17. So we'll be coming to you with scheduling some meetings and some different things with our different organizations.
Thank you. As the board also notices, Dr. Coglin is not here. As I shared with you earlier, he is at the CASH conference. And Manoj, I know you're going to correct me in case I'm wrong here, Coalition of Adequate School Housing. Yes. So, again, as the board explores ways to continue to upgrade our facilities, we want to make sure all our options are available. You know, I want to touch just a little bit about your vision to have our administrators involved in the community service organizations. Yes, I did go to the Lion initiation. It was really neat. And I have to tell you, the community members that were there were thrilled to have our school staff there. I mean, it just warmed their hearts. But the governor actually came down to do the initiation, the governor of Lions, not Governor Brown, because it's a big deal. I mean, they saw this as a big deal for Lions. But one story he shared, which is an example of, I think, where we're going, he shared example how one of the organizations in another city, small, not a large Lions club, had a goal to raise $1 million. And with $1 million, they wanted to take and get, what's the reader iPad? Kindles. They buy Kindles for students at the local school district. Well, you know, of course, right after the meeting, I went to the governor. It's a great idea. And I know just the school district that we could do that for. So, but, you know, I didn't have to do that because we already have our conduits there. So those are the kind of things that I think are going to happen, which I'm really excited about. As the board knows, I was elected to be the Southern California rep on the superintendent rep on the CSB a planning committee, which I will be going to on Friday. I'm going to add a half day to that because I'm meeting with Bob Blattner. Now, that name might ring a bell because I send you constant emails from him. He is a lobbyist up in Sacramento, an education lobbyist. He doesn't work for us, but because of my relationship with him, everything he sends to his clients, he sends me as well. I immediately send to you. And there's nobody I know that has a more of an inside track in education than him, so I'll be meeting with him as well. So I'll be reporting that back. So thank you.
Thank you. Uh-huh. Now we're going to have items from the floor, public comment. This isn't a time of dialogue with the board. It's a time for you to present information to us, and then if someone needs to get back to you, we will either do it in writing or someone will give you a call afterwards to let you know. Ms. Kelly.
Good evening, everyone. I'm here to address recent things that were unveiled about our district regarding PTA. As you know, many parents are concerned, but it's not something that we who have been board members of PTA, something that is new. These concerns have been brought to many people within the PTA council board of suspicions of people embezzling, double-dipping, yet those concerns were never taken seriously. At one point, they were even brought to our previous superintendent, Deborah Kaplan, and maybe because of the lack of evidence or the lack of following procedures or proper audits, they could have been caught earlier. I'm here to implore that there needs to be a change. I believe that our PTA council needs to be rattled. We need a change in that council. A lot of these people have been holding these positions for a very long period of time and are also holding many positions in other PTA. That was one of my biggest concerns because they're spreading themselves very thinly when it comes to fundraising and all the time-consuming that requires of a PTA board member. That was our biggest suspicion because we had parents that were involved in 3 PTAs, 4 PTAs, and that's where suspicion came about. As a previous board member and president, my phone has been ringing because as a recruiter for volunteers and parents to participate, I established very good friendships and ties with these people. So I am that to-go person, which I really relied as far as when I needed donations or when I needed service hours or, you know, parent to be there to help carry out something. So there was no words but to simply, it happens. I hope that this is an opportunity for our board, for our council, for our first district PTA, because those concerns were also taken to Christy Brown and recently brought to Ellen Torres. And at one point, I also met with Dr. Hinman bringing these concerns, and I had to make the decision where I couldn't be part of PTA, even though I really loved the organization, because I didn't want to be labeled by association. So my suggestion is that council in PTA needs to be conducting proper audits, auditing all the books in the school. I was very happy to hear that that was actually done at the beginning of the school year, comparing receipts, because we were suspicious about people using same receipts in different schools. So that is one great concern as a parent. Another thing that I think would help to not this event not carrying out again is the more transparency in our boards when we're holding those PTA boards is providing our bank statements. When I was PTA president, I try to be as transparent as possible as far as providing receipts, providing bank statements for the board to see, because then you know how much money is in the bank. There's a difference of providing a treasurer's report that we're going by this person saying that that money is in the bank, but who is really checking to make sure that the money is there. I also would like to ask that our principals be more aware of proper rules of order. I've been in boards where the principals do not know how a board needs to carry, or even the supervision that that principal has over the money of PTA. So these little changes will really make a difference. Our PTA memberships have been at the lowest in the past 5 years. When Dr. Hammond came into our district, that was one of the things that he requested, was to see membership. I was still part of the board when you made that request. And it was an eye-awakening of where we were to where we are now. And it's really scary to know that this is going to push many parents away, and those donations will not come. And it's going to affect field trips and everything, the beauty that PTA does for our children. So I'm just here. I know it's something that you've dealt, but I'm here as a concerned parent just to let you know that many parents believe in the organization, but it's hard to be a part of it when there's no supervision. And I also wanted to touch on another subject, which I asked for permission, but recently there was a lot of upgrades at Edgewood High School. I'm a parent at Edgewood High School and Edgewood Middle School, and many facilities were enhanced. Our basketball gym, our tennis courts, our baseball field, but in the scope of that, our soccer field and our track were left out. We carry the name pride of Edgewood IB, yet that is the focal point when people drive on Merced. All our sister schools have turf fields. We don't. I hope that is something that you guys could actually discuss in the future to bring it. The field is in very poor conditions. My son is a goalie, comes home with injuries all the time because it's worse. He puts it as it's worse than falling on cement. So although we did have new seating, it needs to be irrigated. The sprinklers on the field need to be adjusted because our track continues to be deteriorated because those sprinklers are actually going to the track. So we're constantly getting potholes. During rain seasons, it's even worse. So little adjustments here and there would actually, you know, prevent injuries to our students in Edgewood Middle School and Edgewood High School. So I thank you very much for your time.
Evening. I wanted to discuss the thing about the PTA too. I've been involved since 1992. I've had three kids go through the school district. My last one's a senior this year. And I was actually called to Orangewood a few years ago to do an audit, and that's where we found the double dipping. I went to First District, and I voiced my opinion to everyone, and everyone told me I was being petty. And I have parents today. We had parents today at Merlinda asking us, what's going on? What's going on? You know, are you guys like this? We are very transparent. And this is, you know, we need to be heard. When we go to, you know, it needs to be told to our council here, to First District, that, and we need the support, that when we see something or we question something, don't just shove us under the rug. Don't just say, oh, you know, don't worry about it. Because we're volunteers. But when one person takes a fall, we all go down too. And it's not fair to our kids when we are trying to do something for our kids and one person can bring everybody down. And when we've noticed things and we've said stuff and we've questioned things and we've seen little, it's like, oh, you're being petty. You know, we're not being petty, you know, and it's something that, you know, she said, which is true. We have the same people doing the same thing, and they're at 2 and 3 schools, and they're doing the same position. Oh, I'm treasurer at 5 schools. Why, you know, why do you need to keep doing that? And I've gone through 3 presidents with doing this, and I've told them all, and they have all told me, you know, Kim, we'll take care of it. Don't worry. You know, it's no big deal. And then this person keeps, you know, getting this, and this person keeps getting, and it's like nothing's ever done about it. And we need help. We need someone to, you know, be able to, you know, these people help us to make them understand, you know, that we have to, we're here for the kids. We're not here for our self-gratification. You know, this is something we do as a volunteer because we want to enrich our kids, but we can't do it if we're having to, you know, try to sidetrack and investigate people and look at people. And when we see something and we say, look, this is what's going on, and they look at us like we're stupid, I really think that we need to bring bank statements to every meeting, to everything. I mean, it needs to be out there. When I was president, I'm the treasurer now at Merlinda, but when I was president, I used to tell them, if you parents, anytime you want to see, our books are open. And I've had parents come and say, oh, can we see? Hey, we're an open book. We're a nonprofit. We have to show everything. We cannot deny people. We cannot deny any of our people that pay their dues, anything. And a lot of schools don't do that. But we all have to be on the same page. But we have to understand that, you know, if something's brought to someone's attention, if something's brought to you saying, oh, look at this, doesn't look right, you don't disregard it. Look into it. You know, they need to take us seriously. You know, we're not trying to, like, pinpoint people, but when we see something that's not correct and we bring it, you know, at least try to give us the benefit of the doubt and to investigate it, look at it. Because then this happens, and then all of a sudden now we're all, oh, why don't you tell us? Really? You know, what have we been doing? We've been, you know, we try to work together as a team, and it needs to be, I think it needs to be monitored better, and things need to be open more, and the same people should not be able to carry the same thing over and over again. And it's always their little, you know, cliques of who they want. It needs to be held responsibly. So that's what I wanted to tell you, because it is a concern. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Nicole. I'm here on behalf of the West Covina Pony Baseball League. And I just wanted to come and on behalf of the board and extend our gratitude for some of you that attended our opening day in early February. I hope you had fun. I know it was a really warm day. But that's really why I came, just to say thank you. We received a lot of compliments, and it was very noticeable that you attended. And then on another note, I'm so glad to hear that Coronado is doing well. I actually graduated from there. And the irony is USC did a study while I was there, and I ended up getting my master's from USC. So don't give up.
Wow.
I actually have 3 degrees, so it wasn't, you know, those Coronado kids are not dumb. They're just a little sidetracked. So thank you.
Thank you.
Fight on.
Is there anyone else who would like to address the board at this time? Seeing no one, we will move on to the organizational part of our meeting. We are going to take, before we do that, we are going to take a few-minute break for a board member to check on something.
Okay.